Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey there, Tech Stuff listeners. This is Jonathan Strickland, and I've got a request for all of you. Now, Chris and I have decided that we're going to try an experiment. We're doing our first crowdsourced episode of Tech Stuff, and we want to know what your pick is for the worst video game of all time. Now, nominations, you can make one nomination. You nominate one game, and you need to tell us the name of the game and the platform it was on. And it can be any platform. It can be an arcade game. It can be a PC, Mac, Xbox, PS3, Nintendo, handheld console. It can be web-based, if you like. But just you let us know what the platform is so we can make sure we count that as the votes. So you can nominate your game either through email, which is techstuff@howstuffworks.com, or you can nominate through Twitter or Facebook. And we're going to put a cutoff date on this. I want to have the episode go up by the end of September of 2011. So let's say you need to get your nominations in by September 8th, 2011. So if you get those nominations into us, we will make sure we include those in the process, and we will have an episode where we give you the worst video games of all time based upon the votes of our listeners. Thanks a lot. Can't wait to hear from you.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Across from me, as he always is, sits senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
If you start me up, I'll never stop.
Well, I can see you're gathering no moss.
No, I am not. So we wanted to talk today about whether or not we are in a post-PC era. And I hear you guys asking right now, hey, Jonathan and Chris, Why are you talking about whether or not we're in a post-PC era? Well, I'll tell you. It's because Mark Dean, the chief technology officer of IBM Middle East and Africa, who is a fellow who worked on the very first IBM PC, said, "It may be odd for me to say this, but I'm also proud IBM decided to leave the personal computer business in 2005, selling our PC division to Lenovo." While many in the tech industry questioned IBM's decision to exit the business at the time, it's now clear that our company was in the vanguard of the post-PC era. I personally have moved beyond the PC as well. My primary computer now is a tablet. When I helped design the PC, I didn't think I'd live long enough to witness its decline. But while PCs will continue to be much-used devices, they are no longer the leading edge of computing. They're going the way of the vacuum tube, typewriter, vinyl records, CRT, and incandescent light bulbs. So we wanted to talk about, you know, what do we think about that?
Well, I'll tell you, two things that are making a comeback include vacuum tubes and vinyl.
Right.
So,
but what he says is that they are that PCs are no longer in the leading edge of computing, and he does say they will continue to be much used devices.
Well,
so and incandescent light bulbs still much used.
So when was this? When was this that he made this statement?
It was not long ago. It was like in August of 2011.
Because in 1999, David Clark, who was an MIT research scientist, gave a talk called "The Post PC Internet."
Yep.
And I found that out actually because I was reading an article from Sarah Rotman Epps. Mm-hmm. A Forrester, who said that the post-PC era doesn't mean a time when there are no more computers. And that's
right.
The way I was interpreting it.
Yeah, exactly.
She says that what the post-PC era means is basically a time of ubiquitous technology and ubiquitous computing, I should say, specifically.
Right.
In which case, I would say, yes.
We are in
that
there. Era. We're there. I agree. See, that's what... The reaction to Dean's statement was kind of across the board in technology journals and blogs.
Mm-hmm.
There were some people who took it to say the PC is dead, which is not what Dean said.
No.
He specifically said that they will continue to be much used devices. That doesn't mean that they're dead. But there were a lot of people who wrote the death of the PC. And that gets eyes on your article, but it's not a really accurate representation of what Dean was saying. But, you know, there are other indicators that show that this is not lightly said.
No.
I mean, first you've got the example that Dean himself gave, which is not the personal example, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But the example of IBM selling off its PC division to Lenovo. That caused some eyebrows to raise back in 2005.
And it still does in August of 2011.
That's
as we
true.
Were recording this, because I was sitting at my desk just sort of going about my daily business when Jonathan dropped me an instant message that said, "Hey, guess what?"
Yeah. So, yeah.
IBM isn't alone anymore.
August 18th, 2011, which as of the recording of this podcast – was yesterday. On August 18th, 2011, HP announced it was considering spinning off its PC division.
Yeah, that was after oddly enough, because people are equating the post-PC era with things like tablets and smartphones and other things. Of course, we talked about in the podcast about the history of Palm how HP acquired Palm for its web OS.
Yeah.
And I actually recently, probably about a month ago now, had an opportunity to play with one of the HP tablets with the web OS on
it. You didn't buy it, did you?
No.
I was wondering, because you have a habit of killing technologies. That's why I was wondering if you were responsible for this.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the web OS when I was poking around on it in the store. I thought, this looks really nice. I really like it. And of course,
so you were at Blaine.
I've got an iPad, and I enjoy my iPad. And I really liked the difference. And I've also used an Android tablet, and I liked it too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd never actually used the web OS before that. And I thought, well, this is pretty neat. I'm glad HP did this. Well, sadly, in the same announcement, HP said that it is divesting itself. It's saying no more. Well, it's not divesting it. That would require a buyer. They're actually shutting it down and incurring a massive cost. I saw people commenting that, they had bought it for, you know, to eliminate the competition. No, if they bought it to eliminate the competition, they wouldn't have made anything else that used the OS.
Right.
But yeah, they are shutting down and they are all that unit and it looks like they are going to divest themselves of their PC holdings as well.
Yeah, so that means that they are no longer supporting the continuation of WebOS devices, although they did say that they were hoping to continue software development in some way. So what that means in the future, we don't know. Maybe it means that eventually they will sell WebOS off to someone else. Maybe they'll...
I hope so.
Or maybe it just means that for all those people who went out there and bought a WebOS device, don't worry, we won't completely drop the support of the existing devices. We're just not going to build any new ones.
Right, right.
However, you could argue that is officially the death of Palm.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we did an episode on the history of Palm, and we talked about how it was the WebOS was kind of its legacy that was living on in HP, and now it looks like that's no more, which is just kind of sad. But so let's talk about some of the things that have led to this post-PC era.
Okay.
Keeping in mind, again, we should say, first of all, let's talk about what roles that PCs are going to continue to fill. Let's do that first, because we need to get that out of the way. Otherwise, people are going to write in and tell us how important their PC is. Again, we're not saying PCs aren't important. We're just saying they're no longer the forefront of computing. There are roles that PCs are always going to be, or I shouldn't say always, but for the foreseeable future will be the best device to do certain kinds of tasks on.
Oh, yeah.
Like your typical office work. I don't think that's going to go away from most PCs for a while.
No.
It's just that that's a very efficient and easy way to manage a lot of office work. Things like tablets, if it's anything where you're doing a lot of data entry or anything along those lines, we're still not quite there yet.
No, it's rather a pain in the neck to try to write a paper on a tablet.
Yeah.
Because trust me, I've tried. And it's doable.
Yeah.
But it's not nearly as easy as it is with a computer.
And sure, you could get docking stations that have keyboards on them and everything, but they're just not quite as versatile as a laptop or a desktop computer.
Yep.
Then we've got gaming.
Yeah.
Now, you can play lots of very popular games on tablets and smartphones. There's no doubt about it. Angry Birds has shown the world that a simple game can really dominate the market. But if you are a hardcore gamer, someone who really likes to play the cutting edge, graphically intensive games that are out there, the ones that take a lot of processor power just to play, not just for the graphics, but for the gameplay itself and the physics engine and all that kind of stuff, then a desktop PC or laptop is not going to just go away for you. Because the other devices that are out there just don't have that processing capability of running those games at that level that the elite gamers expect.
Right.
So if you are into media creation or editing, the PC is not going to go away. I mean, you can do some of that on some tablets. There are applications that let you do some work like that, but it's...
Oh, shoot. You can do some of it on smartphones.
Yeah, but it's limited. You're not going to be able to – you're not going to have nearly the versatility that you would have with a full desktop computer. And also, depending on what you're doing, it may take a – it's going to either produce something that is of a lower quality than what you expect, or it's going to take a lot longer to complete.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience that shooting high-definition video and editing that work on a computer, the end result will, you know – stretch into gigabytes of space, if not terabytes, depending on the length of the project.
Right.
And you're not going to find that on that amount of space on a tablet or a smartphone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are certain things that you can use to do that with. And I would argue that all the different types of devices can be useful in working together toward the completion of a project like that. But you can't actually do that level of editing with that, you know, that level of sophistication on something like a tablet.
Sure. So now we can talk about, I mean, those are just a few examples. There are others. I mean, obviously, if you're talking about doing some heavy duty processing, like things like when you're folding proteins, then you're going to need some.
They're so small.
Yeah. But then in that case, you're talking about using actual computers and not necessarily I mean, the processing needs are greater than what the mobile devices are capable of delivering. But in general, those are just some examples. Now, let's move on and talk about the things that make the post-PC era possible.
Mm-hmm.
From a hardware perspective, we've already touched on this, but mobile devices are really the chief element here. So smartphones and tablets are really what we're focusing on.
Yeah.
And these products have really hit it big in the consumer marketplace over the last 3 years or so, four mm-hmm. years.
Yep.
Starting with really the Apple iPhone, I would argue. I mean, there were smartphones on the market before then, but at least in the United States, the smartphone market was really just kind of limited to executives and a few early adopters.
Well, it sort of depends on how you look at it. Now, I mean, there were tablets before, too.
Sure.
The Windows-based tablets.
Yeah, I don't
really
even
catch
think about
on.
Them.
Well, no. The thing is, these things sort of laid the groundwork.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you'd have people like doctors, especially people in the medical industry were really using tablets, but they were big. They were like laptops that had been flipped inside out so that the screen was on the outside. They
weren't
heavy. They're still around. I've seen some. And, you know, the Palm Pilot, where you had the device in your hand, which gradually became a smartphone. But you're right. They were primarily, these were tools that the executive would use, or the business professional would use, not things like the iPhone, which sort of broke that wall down.
Yeah, it was really aimed at the general consumer who wanted to have essentially a portable computer that mm-hmm. they could, that also acted as a phone.
Yeah. Sarah Rotman Epps said that one of the delineators is that it's more of a casual experience.
Yeah.
And it's more intimate than it used to be, rather than being something that was sat on your desk and you'd have to go to your desk to do it. Even with a laptop, you know, you have the keyboard and the screen up.
And it also gives you the opportunity to interact with your environment no matter where you are,
yeah.
as opposed to, like, if you have a computer, if it's a desktop, then you are limited to the desk.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you unplug everything and you move that desktop over someplace else for some sort of LAN party or something.
LAN party.
Yeah. Laptop is a little more portable, but not so portable that you're going to be whipping the laptop out just casually wherever you happen to be.
I've worked with people. Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say I've worked with people who, even in the laptop era, had a sling for their desktop PC so that they could carry it to LAN parties because laptops didn't, and I would argue to some degree, still don't have the kind of processing power that you can put in a desktop PC.
Yeah, you can find some gaming laptops out there that put my desktop to shame, but they are still, like, compared to the cutting edge gaming PC, are still behind. And it's because, you know, you can only fit so many components into a laptop case and not have it melt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it many times, how processors, especially very sophisticated high-end processors, generate a whole lot of heat.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the gaming PCs, you know, some of them are liquid-cooled. Many of them require multiple fans
yep.
to keep their innards cool.
Yeah, they might have multiple processors.
Well, yeah. Like
most of them do.
Graphics, high-end graphics processors, again, generating more heat. There are things that you – but you can do a lot of work with that. A lot of computing work. Well, and games, yes, they're games, but they're doing a lot of processing work, computing work to render that information that you see on the screen.
So if you're not doing that, if you wanted to be able to interact with your environment easily, then a smartphone and tablet, that makes perfect sense. Like you're walking around town and you wanted to look up the address of a place because you think, oh, that restaurant I heard of is nearby. I know it's near here. I just don't know exactly where it is.
Right.
Well, that's where that kind of thing comes in handy. And once people really started to embrace that, the app world exploded. And we suddenly got all these apps that let us interact with our environment in ways we never really thought of before.
Like augmented reality.
Augmented reality is a great example. And, of course, augmented reality goes beyond just smartphones and tablets. We've seen that incorporated into handheld gaming consoles as well. And we should also add that even though we're talking about smartphones and tablets right now, there are other things we could talk about, like set-top boxes. Or even just TVs that have computing elements built into them that people are using to interact with the digital world far more frequently than they are with a PC.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I was going to add on to something that's married to this idea of the mobile device and the things that you have around you. There are two other related concepts.
Uh-huh.
There's the ecosystem, the idea of creating a digital ecosystem where mm-hmm. your devices can interact with one another in a fairly seamless way so that your experience, like you're playing a game on your smartphone, let's say, and then you switch over to a tablet and you are able to pick up exactly where you left off on the smartphone. And now you're playing in the tablet and, you know, that's a pretty powerful message you can send to a consumer. But married to that is the idea of cloud computing.
Yes.
And cloud computing has really done a lot to bring on the post-PC era, because before cloud computing, you essentially had to have a device capable of doing whatever processing needs you had all on its own. Right? Like you had to have, if you wanted to play a particular game that was on the store shelf, you needed to have a PC that had the stats that that game required at bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're like, well, I would love to play this game. I've got the money to play this game, but my computer is not capable of running it.
Right.
Now, cloud computing, at least theoretically, what you would do is you create a very low-powered browser window or framework on your computer, which doesn't require a lot of processor speed. That would be what would run on your computer. Then you would have a high-speed internet connection to the cloud service operator, which would be running the game on its end, and you would essentially be accessing it through the framework that's on your computer. So all the heavy lifting is being done on a computer potentially thousands of miles away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only that when you press a button, like instead of pressing a button and your processor tells the game, okay, jump, you're pressing a button and your computer sends a message to this computer that's thousands of miles away that tells its processor, okay, now jump. Now, getting the lag time down, the latency time down so that that doesn't become a factor in the game, that's important. But we're seeing that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are businesses built around it. OnLive is built around that business.
Yes.
So you've got – once you have the cloud computing agent there, it means that you no longer have to go out and buy the newest computer in order to access some of the coolest software that's out there. So that has taken away the incentive to go out and replace your computer every couple of years just to stay – up to speed, assuming that the things that you need are available in the cloud. Not everything you need is going to be there. So a lot of this comes down to personal choice about whether or not are there certain things that you just don't feel like you feel you can do without.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that I can't access this particular program without having a fast computer. Do I need that program?
Right.
If I don't need that program, I'm just going to go to a cloud-based system and buy a cheap computer, or maybe not even a computer. Maybe I can access it through a tablet or smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
And that has really helped urge on this post-PC era.
Yes.
Like, now we don't need these desktop computers or laptop computers in order to access some of the cool applications that previously would have required them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just good to know that more about what the post-PC era means to those people who have described it. I think it's easy with a name like that, or it's unfortunate that they chose that description, because
yeah,
people seem to think that that was the death knell of the computer. But obviously, I mean, computers are in so many different kinds of things. You know, it's just going to evolve, and it's become easier to do these things. It's become more cost effective to put computers in different devices.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have the Internet of Things where your fridge is talking to the internet.
Right.
You know, it's good to have some description about what's really going on and what people actually mean by that, because, I think it should probably, I think we've not only started, we've been in the post-PC era for a couple years anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right now it's, I think, a lot easier to recognize and to acknowledge the fact that we are in that era. I mean,
yeah.
Again, it doesn't mean that you're going to walk home and realize that suddenly all your computers don't work or they've disappeared. and they've all run off. They don't have a little gem blinking indicating that they need to be on the run, because otherwise the computer executors are going to show up and
renew.
Take them away.
Renew.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know if anyone's going to get that joke.
If you do, let us know.
Yeah, some of you will. All right. All of you old timers out there who get that joke, don't yell at me for assuming that you're young.
Or young timers who have seen it.
Who that would just blow me away. I know there's a remake coming. Anyway.
Okay.
I'm getting off track. Let's wrap this up. Yes, there is. Let's wrap this up. We are going to say that, yes, we're in a post-PC era. No, it does not mean the computer is actually going away. And I think I'm comfortable with that.
I am too.
So if you guys have any topics you would like us to talk about, anything that you specifically think needs to be addressed, you can write us an email. Our address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com, or drop us a line on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle at both of those is techstuffhsw. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.